Hello, and welcome back to season four of Step Into Your Sunshine, hosted by yours truly, Rachel Coudron, the mind behind La Forêt de Lumière Holistic Experience that will be taking place May the 13th through May the 16th of 2025. And I hope to see every one of you listeners there. Today, on the third episode of my personal episodes, I'm going to discuss giving yourself grace among grief while you have children. Now, I want to put this disclaimer out here that it could be very triggering for those that listen that have already gone through grief, that are currently going through grief, or even for those that haven't experienced grief, but maybe it's right around the corner and listening to this could be a trigger in that moment. And so this is going to be a very raw and personal experience as I'm going through grief right now, and I have a child and just going through all the stages of that. And I want to make sure that you guys know what you're getting into before you listen any further. I need a deep breath before starting this episode because there's so many emotions tied to our children and tied to grief, that when they're in the same place at the same time, sometimes it feels really insurmountable. And for me, it's been quite an experience over the past several weeks. If you haven't listened to the previous episodes, to fill you in very quickly, is after 19 months of a hard fight, my mom passed away on July the 1st of 2024. Now, what makes this really complicated is that every person has their own journey that they go through while grieving. Some of us do it alone, some of us do it independently, even though we're surrounded by people. Some of us have massive amounts of support. We have husbands or wives or partners, we have children. We have our extended families. Every story is different. And for me, I have been very blessed that for the first 3 weeks following my mom's death, I was able to be in Oklahoma with my immediate family, my brothers, my sister, and my dad. And we were actually able to stay together as a family for 3 weeks, which I know in many cases is unheard of, but that was our story. My daughter was there, my nephew was there, and heal together, have the time together. That was so needed. And I highly encourage all of you that after you've experienced a significant loss, that if it feels right for you, then to surround yourself by your loved ones, the people that you hold dear, the people that know you the best, and the people that will support you without judgment, without feeling the need to just fix everything, that they're there because they know that you're aching and you're hurting. Now, refocusing on children. Now, this could also be a very triggering experience that I'm about to describe, but for me, it's my truth. And I think if it's true for me, it must be true for others out there. My daughter was in the room when my mom passed away. She's 5 years old. And it was important to me for her to be there because I wanted her to be able to say or do or hold the hand of her Nana in whichever way she wanted to, and also understand the situation. I am not one that gravitates towards hiding or moving my child away from uncomfortable situations. As long as they're not dangerous, then I feel like it's important that she experiences all the human experiences. So that when difficult situations arise in her future, that she's able to come to me and her dad and express her feelings and have the support that she needs, and she knows it's going to be there, even in the most difficult times. So back into that room, she's there. I had told her beforehand, before getting to the hospital, that Nana won't be with us anymore after today. And what does that mean? My daughter is very, very inquisitive, and she asked many, many questions. And so she understood that that day was going to be bring the death of my mom and the death of her Nana. And when the time came and the ultimate decision was made to pull out the ventilator and the other supportive devices and to stop giving her medications that would rise and fall her heart rate and to let her pass in peace, then it's something that doesn't happen instantaneously. It happens over several minutes. And my daughter, because she didn't quite understand what was happening, she kept asking, "Is Nana dead yet?" And that sentence and that scenario still plays in my mind. And at sometimes when I look at my daughter, I see that moment. And it is triggering for me. And it's hard sometimes. And I'm sharing it with all of you because I'm sure that someone else in the world has experienced this. And it's not my daughter trying to be facetious or be uncaring, it's just how she's processing the world. And I try to remind myself of that, especially on days when I'm triggered. Especially on days when I just see that. And so the question that I ask myself, and I'm asking all of you, is how do you give yourself grace as a parent when you're grieving and you have a child? Now, I'm definitely one to say that I don't have it all figured out. I don't have all the answers, and I am actively going through this in real time. And so I'm certain that I have made many, many mistakes, and that I'm could probably learn much from all of you of how you have handled these situations in your lives. And all of that, I want to share what I've been doing to help myself. And in those moments that I feel triggered with my daughter, because I remember the situation I just described, I try to first create some space. Because when you're triggered, it's the only moment that you can think about. It's hard for you to actually be in the moment that you're living in because you're back in that moment that has been triggered for you. And so I try to create space because I know that mentally and almost physically, I'm not there right now. And I need to create space so that I don't say, do, or act in a way that I would later regret. And this doesn't mean violence. It just simply means maybe saying something that's very insensitive and or getting angry at my daughter for no particular reason, or being more strict with her, or a variety of other options. So I try to create space, maybe go to a different room, or maybe it's time for me to go out into the garden, pick some flowers, or go and listen to some music upstairs. It's not a long time, but just enough to kind of reset and be like, okay, you're feeling better now. You're in a better place to be able to handle the situation. The next thing that I do is I go to journaling. For me, journaling has helped me in a numerous amount of ways, and I highly, highly, highly recommend it. So I go to my journal. If you've listened to the previous episode, then you'll know that I have a specific journal for my mom. And I go to her and I write to her. Maybe that day I'm feeling triggered and it's leaving me with the emotion of sadness. So I write her a letter about being sad. Or some days it leaves me with anger. And so I write her a letter about me being angry or how this situation is causing me to be angry. Or sometimes I feel disappointed. And sometimes that disappointment is related to my daughter. Maybe not preparing her enough so that she didn't leave that experience with myself and with others, but also disappointment that, oh, this is still bothering me. And it's 6 weeks on. And so just dealing with all those emotions, just allowing them to be what they are and expressing them with authenticity in the journal of truly how I feel, not necessarily how I should feel or how society expects of me to feel or how my loved ones would want me to feel. It's being authentic to me and how I truly feel. And I write that in a journal. And I have found that just by getting those emotions out of my body, that it allows me to move forward. It allows me to heal a little bit from that experience each time, so that the next time that this comes up, it's not as triggering for me. The third thing that I do is I try to remember in that moment to kind of rewrite that story where rather than looking at my daughter, I see X, then I see Y. And I try to do it in real time. As soon as that emotion triggering situation occurs, that, okay, right now you're looking at her or she's talking or saying X, and it's definitely reminding you of the situation. I try to rewrite that in the moment. Okay, so picture another time when joy and happiness, love and warmth was surrounding my body and my soul and my emotions, and it was related to her. And I do that in active time. I try to use all of my five senses because that's really what's needed to rewrite a memory. Think about how it smelled when I was at that situation. So let me just think of a memory from my mind that always sticks out in my memory. And one of those memories is when she was quite little. And she must have been about two at the time, and we were actually living at a different house. And it was when I had my first sale on a previous business, and I picked her up, and I was just having the time of my life. The music was on in the background, and I spun her around, and I just felt like euphoria, just that she was there, being in her presence, just having her there, was amazing. And so I remember that memory. How did it smell inside my house at that moment? I had flowers on the table, so there was a very floral scent. I also remember how it felt to actually physically touch her and spin her around, and the euphoria and the warmness and the closeness and the love that I was experienced by just holding her close to me and seeing her smile and me smile and be proud of myself in that moment, be proud of her and thankful that she was with me and alive and my daughter. I also remember like what I was seeing, which I've already described, what I was hearing, her little giggles. And what I was tasting. In my memory right now, I can't remember what I was tasting. But potentially in your memory, when you think back to a beautiful, loving, warm memory that you can really go into all of your senses and think, what was I doing in that moment? Activate every one of those sensors because then it will move your mind to a new memory, move your muscles, your tension, your focus, your thoughts onto something more positive and warming. And it helps you rewrite that memory associated with that person or that place or that thing or that animal. And so for me, this really helps me rewrite my memory with my daughter because I have thousands and thousands of excellent, warm, loving, beautiful memories. But right now, because the very hard, soul-destroying memory is most prevalent in my mind. So I have to work really hard to rewrite that. I'm not saying to forget it and act like it never existed. Absolutely not. It's just to rewrite the memory associated with my daughter. The next thing that I do is I remember something my mom always, always, always talked about. And that was grace. She always advocated for her and I and all the rest of the family to give each other more grace. And not only within our family, but in the broader society, give people grace and understanding that what they're going through may be so much more difficult than they're leading on, that there may be things deep in their psyche that they have totally covered up for the rest of the world that are going on, and give people grace, give people understanding, love. My mom was someone who admitted this fiercely. She was full of grace and full of love. And so many times I saw her give grace to people who I didn't think deserved it. And that taught me a lot about life and a lot about what was really important. And so I think to myself, in these moments when I feel angry, or I feel disappointed, or I feel sad, or I feel so many other mixed emotions, what would my mom want me to do? And when I feel that overwhelmed and I'm just drawn out on the couch or in bed and it's difficult for me to get up, or on a day where I just don't have any motivation, what would my mom want me to do? And I know the first thing that she would tell me is to give myself grace, to give myself time, to let myself know that I don't have to be 100% all the time. That I don't have to be strong for everybody else. That I don't have to be the star-studded mother that I want to be all of the time. That I'm allowed to have emotions. I'm allowed to be upset. I'm allowed to listen to my body and to respond to its needs. And I'm allowed to put myself first. Remember that you're allowed to put yourself first in these moments and every day. Because you need to feel fulfilled and you need to have a full cup before you're able to give to other people. And in these moments and in this time, yes, I'm having a very difficult time. And some days I feel like I'm thriving, and other days I'm struggling in ways that are really difficult to describe. And sometimes it's the both. In the same day. But I know my mom would tell me to give myself grace. So I want to send out that message to all of the listeners here today and tell you to give yourself grace. Give yourself time, that you don't have to be producing and moving and working hard and drilling and losing sleep and going here to there to here to there to here to here every second of every day. It's okay to not do all the things every day. It's okay to need to take time for yourself or to tell your children, I can't today. To tell your children that you're sad, to tell your children that you're grieving, to have authentic and real conversations with your kids, because one day it'll be their turn. One day they'll lose someone very close in their life, and they'll remember their experiences with grief. And they'll remember how their parents handled grief. And I hope that my daughter remembers to give herself grace and that it's okay to go at whatever pace feels comfortable for her. And it's okay to add things into your life or to take them away if that's what's needed. And it's 1000% okay to go against societal norm of what their expectations are of you. I want to leave you with a few quotes and a few thoughts today. And the first one that I have reiterated in this podcast today in so many different ways is it's okay not to have it all together all the time. Remember that. It's okay not to have it all together all of the time. We're human and we experience the roller coaster of human life. Everything is not all pink and flowery, rainbows and butterflies. There's deep blues, there's grays, there's black, there's sadness, there's depression, there's anger, there's loneliness. And collectively, that makes up the human experience. And we need to share with our children and share with society that both sides of that is okay. It's okay to grieve in a healthy way. It's okay to talk about our mental health or our experiences or our feelings, even if they're not warm and shiny, because it paves the way for others to talk about theirs. When I talk about grieving with children, there are seven helpful strategies that could help you when your time comes, or whether that's the loss of a pet, a loved one, an experience. There's so many ways that children can experience grief. The first one, embrace open communication. Be honest about how you feel, using age-appropriate language and giving them an environment so that they feel safe and supported to express how they feel. Prioritize self-care. This is for you, mamas and daddies. Recognize that taking care of yourself is not a luxury, but a necessity. Make time for activities that bring you peace. And to be around supportive people and supportive environments. It is absolutely crucial. The third, establish routines and consistency. Children thrive on routines and consistency. And when we're grieving, they're going through a very tumultuous time. They have their mother, their father, their siblings are further away from them than normal. Maybe they don't have as much energy. Maybe they're not playing with them as much. And being able to establish routines and consistency will help them. Even if it means that you have a routine of watching TV in the morning, then stick to the routine because that will provide them with a sense of safety. If you guys go to the park every day, if you have conversations every day, if you talk about the first thing you guys talk about is what the plan is for the day, then stick to that routine and be consistent. The fourth one is both for children and for adults, is seek professional support. If you're finding yourself in a state of not being able to progress forward and staying in the same state and not feeling able to cope with the emotions that you're experiencing, please seek professional support, both for you and for your child. The next one is encouraging emotional expression that allow your child and yourself to have emotions, modeling them. That just like I said, not everything is rainbows and sunshine. And they need to know that it's okay for them to have sadness. It's okay for them to experience anger or fear or confusion or loneliness. And that you, as the parent, are going to be there to support them in this amount, in this time. And sometimes as a child, they're going to be there to support you. Because as the parent, we have the pressure of always needing to be there for our child to protect them, to keep them safe, to shelter them from the bad of the world. And at times, when we're grieving, we don't feel capable of doing all of that. And it's okay to lean on your children. That together as a family, you guys are making it through this experience as a team. The sixth one is to celebrate and remember. To celebrate the life and the memories of the one that you've lost. You could create rituals, you can do a memory corner, creating a scrapbook, going on a vacation yearly with the other members of the family. And remembering them, having open discussions and memories about them. The seventh one is create connections with others. Reach out. It could be on social media, it could be through various support groups. Reach out to other people that have experienced this in the past or are currently experiencing this, because together the community you'll feel will help you move on to that next stage of your life. And it will also bring you a lot of fulfillment. You'll be able to share your experiences and empathize with other and be around people that understand. It's so crucial for people to feel like they belong and that they're understood. Last things I want to leave you with is two quotes that I feel my mom would so wholeheartedly support. Grace is a love that gives, that loves the unlovely and the unlovable, by Oswald C. Hoffman. My mom modeled that throughout her life. And I hope to do the same. And to all of you listening, I leave you with this. I give grace because I so desperately need it. Lisa Terek Kirkst. I give grace because I so desperately need it. Absolutely. I'm sending a wave of grace to all of you listeners today that you give yourself more time, more love, more patience, more kindness, and more grace. First to yourself, and then to your loved ones, and then to the world surrounding you and the society you live in. Because we are all fighting a fight that no one knows about. We've had incredible, difficult experiences in our life, and we're moving through life in the best way that we know how. I look forward to speaking with you guys soon. And thank you so much for tuning into Step Into Your Sunshine.